Hi, everybody. Yeah, I'm a surveillance epidemiologist with the Florida State Health Department, and part of my responsibilities do include respiratory disease surveillance. And this is sort of an evaluation that we did of the data available from a national level for Florida through BioSense versus the data that we collect on a routine basis for our influenza surveillance. So we'll go over kind of the data that we collect as part of our, like I said, routine influenza surveillance. Then look at the data available from the BioSense system, and then the correlation between this national data and the local level data to see how representative that data is for Florida. I don't think it should fall anymore. It's reached its bottom level now. So like I said, the purpose of this analysis was to see if someone who only has access to influenza data related to Florida through BioSense, can they actually interpret anything meaningful as far as the actual influenza activity from a local level, meaning a county or a city level. And there are several reasons why data that's available for Florida through BioSense may not be representative of a population within our state. And some of those reasons are that it's most, for the Florida data specifically, it's mostly the military population, which has some characteristics that are not in line with the population that we have in Florida, most significantly the age distribution of our population, being that we have a significant proportion of elderly and retirees. So for our routine surveillance, our first system that we have is the Influenza Sentinel Provider Network. We have currently 103 regular reporting providers from around the state, which represents a 1 to 185,958 population ratio within the state, which does meet the goal of the surveillance system, which is supposed to have at least a 1 to 250,000 population ratio. These Sentinel providers that are enrolled in this system report on a weekly basis through a website hosted by the CDC. And what they report are the total number of visits that they see per week, and they also report the number of ILI visits for that same week, along with the age distribution of those visits. And from that, we calculated the rate of ILI per 100 visits, and that should actually be proportion of ILI. Like I said, they enter this data into a website that's hosted by the CDC. These Sentinel providers also collect specimens, and it's supposed to be on a random basis, from ILI patients seen in their clinic, and they forward these specimens on to the State Health Labs, which is the Bureau of Laboratories, and we have a branch location in Jacksonville as well as Tampa. But that data is not discussed really in this evaluation. So this is the data from the Sentinel Provider Network for the 06-07 influenza season, and then the 07-08 influenza season, and then the line is the delineation between the two. And you can see that it has the regular expected peaks for ILI in the during the season. An additional surveillance system we have is related to the county influenza activity codes. And within each of our 67 county health departments, we have a designated influenza coordinator. And their responsibility is to monitor and report on the influenza activity within their county. They have different sources for where they get the data related to influenza, and I have some examples listed up here, but they can include hospital labs. Some coordinators actually contact providers within their area that are not participating in the Sentinel Provider Network and get sort of just a telephone survey of those providers to get a feeling of what the influenza activity is within their community. Many of them also monitor worker absenteeism as well as school absenteeism. The method of surveillance is very different between many of the counties, just as a factor of what data they have available to them, what's collected through other sources, and what they, like I said, have available. Some of them also do regular routine surveillance within long-term care facilities, correctional institutions, and other healthcare facilities. The counties then use this data to assess what they feel the community influenza activity level is within their county, and then report that through our EPICOM system, which is actually going to be presented tomorrow. And so it's a web-based system where they can log in and then report this code. The codes that they're able to report are no activity, sporadic, localized, and widespread. And of course, there is guidelines on how to assess their activity based on the number of systems where they are seeing alerts, current lab specimen typing, things like that. We include this data in our weekly surveillance report, and here are the GIS maps related to this for the 07-08 influenza season. So the first one was week 40, which was the beginning of the influenza season. Then you can see the increased activity during the peak time period, which was around week 7 for Florida. And then once again, you can see that the activity waned towards the end of the influenza season, which was week 20. And then just in case you can't read it, the green counties are no activity, the blue are sporadic, the orange is localized, and then red is the highest, which is widespread. Then when we graph this data, we usually only include the counties that are reporting localized or widespread activity, which would indicate an elevation in the ILI. And this is, once again, the two influenza seasons. And then we are only representing, like I said, those counties reporting localized or widespread activity. So the last surveillance system that we'll talk about is the pneumonia and influenza mortality data that we collect. This data is available through our state vital statistics office, and they do maintain an electronic database, which they refer to as Deathmaster. And I'm not exactly sure how they came up with that name. It sounds pretty ominous. From Deathmaster, we use the selected ICD-10 codes for J10 through J18, and those can be in any mention on the death certificate. And we also, once again, collected that data for the 06-07 season and then the 07-08 season. Collected the total number of deaths on a weekly basis for those periods, and then also collected the deaths due to pneumonia or influenza. We then calculated the proportion of pneumonia and influenza deaths per 100 deaths in order to make the comparisons equal across all of our data sources. And this first display is actually the number of deaths. So the dark blue line is actually just the number of PNI deaths per week. And then the light blue line is the total number of deaths. And so then when you normalize that into the proportion, you can see that this is the rate or the proportion of deaths per 100 deaths. So looking over the national data that we have available, the data sources for BioSense in Florida is limited to the DOD and VA facilities that are reporting, as well as lab test order data. For Florida, we have available the total number of visits to any of the outpatient clinics that are reporting, as well as the number of visits that are for acute respiratory illness, or ARI. BioSense then reports these out as a rate of ARI per 100 visits. In Florida, we currently have no non-military facilities that report to BioSense, and that is really just a function of the fact that we have some statutes and regulations within the state that actually prevent us from having this data directly transmitted to the system. So we're pursuing the statewide implementation of ESSENCE as our syndromic surveillance system. So as a function of that, we're limited, or the data within BioSense is limited to those populations, as we mentioned before. These are the 70 DOD and VA reporting facilities around Florida. And you can see that, I mean, there is a relatively wide distribution, but there are several counties that are not reported within, or not represented within this data. And then there are also several clusters, which would obviously go around most of our urban population centers within the state. When you look at the ARI data graphically, this is how it appears. We have, once again, the two influenza seasons, and then this is the proportion of ARI visits per 100 visits. So once again, the question that we really asked was, I mean, if someone only has access to this DOD VA data through BioSense, I mean, are they getting an accurate picture of what the influenza activity is like in Florida? So looking at our expanded local influenza data, and then comparing it to the national data that's available. So when you take the entire state into account, this is what the data looks like when you graph them all together. And once again, it's the PNI deaths, the ARI proportion, which is the BioSense data, our sentinel physician influenza-like illness proportion, and then the county influenza activity code, which again were the two elevated codes. So that's just the number of counties reporting those codes. So when we did the correlation analysis on this, we have the correlation coefficients and then the p-values. For the state level data, we had two values that were statistically significant, and that was the correlation between the ILI proportion and then the county influenza activity code reporting. They were at relatively low, lower levels, but they were statistically significant. Then the thought was, I mean, what if we limited it to the geographic areas that we termed biosense coverage areas? So the term was applied to any county that had three or more reporting facilities within its jurisdiction. And so those areas are Escambia County, which is Pensacola, Duval County, which is Jacksonville. Then we have the Tampa Bay area, which is actually Pinellas County, which is the St. Petersburg area, and then Hillsborough County, which is the Tampa area. And then finally we had Miami-Dade County and then Broward County, so it's Miami and Fort Lauderdale. So when you select out those six counties, this is what this is the data that you get, and it's the same data again represented for those two seasons. So when we look at the correlation for this data, you see that they're all the levels of analysis were statistically significant, and the highest when I go over the next data, you'll see that the county influenza activity code was the highest for any of the data levels or sources that we looked at, and it was at the 0.75. So then when looking at all the counties that are left over, when you exclude these biosense coverage areas, or what we termed the biosense coverage areas, this is the data that you get. So that's 61 other counties within Florida. And so once again, it's the four data sources that we see here. Looking at the correlation coefficients for these were all also statistically significant, but the levels were much lower than the 0.75 that you saw for the county influenza activity code. So it's the 0.54 and the 0.57. So some conclusions that we had. I mean, the ARI rate measured at the DOD and VA treatment facilities was statistically correlated to our local influenza data at all the levels of analysis, meaning statewide, looking at the biosense coverage areas, and then looking at the other non-biosense coverage areas. I mean, there were statistically significant associations at all of these levels of analysis. However, the level of correlation with the national data was highest when looking at the biosense coverage areas and comparing that to the county influenza activity codes. And once again, like I said, the coverage areas are Broward, Dade, Duval, Escambia, Hillsborough, and Pinellas counties. And these are our largest population centers within the state, because once again, that's Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Jacksonville, Tampa, St. Petersburg. I mean, so you're seeing that these are really high urban population centers. However, when you look at the non-coverage areas, we also have several urban population centers, such as Orlando, Naples, and Sarasota, but there are a higher proportion of the population within that are in rural areas. So this is more of just kind of a summary of what influenza surveillance is like from the Florida perspective. These are all of our different surveillance systems, and it also mentions the influenza-like illness outbreak reports that we receive, notifiable disease reports, which are related to pediatric influenza mortality, and the DOH laboratory surveillance data that we receive, which were not part of this analysis. But you can see what each of these offers within the state. And the biosense data, we're right now considering it at the state level, more so because we want to pursue the analysis that we did on the regional level further before we would really interpret it to any specific populations. And so just as a review, I mean, we looked at it from the state level, the biosense coverage areas, and the areas not covered by biosense. And when looking at these, they all had statistically significant associations, but by far the highest was with the biosense coverage areas, looking at the county influenza activity code. And so the next steps for where we'd like to look would be looking at some timeliness data, also comparing the specific populations to try and see if we can determine what is affecting this association between these data sources. So I wanted to acknowledge the people that worked on this project with me, Aaron Kite Powell, who's the syndromic surveillance epidemiologist for the state, Janet Hamilton, and Dr. Richard Hopkins. And I also wanted to really thank the people who developed BioSense, especially the influenza module. I know that they're going to be talking about it later, but it really does have some great tools that we really use within the state and appreciate it. And that was just a really quick summary of some of the data that we've been looking at. So I can take any questions.
Problems with national sentinel influenza providers is that they don't necessarily report every week on time. What is your experience with the 103 sentinel providers in Florida?
Well, we actually have 177 registered sentinel providers, and then the 103 that I reported actually were limited by the over the previous influenza season, how often they reported. So we had a threshold for what we consider a true reporter and what we would consider a non-reporter. And so, I mean, it is something difficult that we look at. I mean, we also, within our surveillance data, we do go back and re-update our data that we include as far as the proportion of ILI. I mean, I can't really say what proportion actually report on the actual day that they're supposed to. I mean, but like I said, out of 177, we really only consider 103 true reporters, and that would be over the influenza season, not necessarily on a timeliness basis, just the fact that they reported every week or a major proportion of the weeks. Sorry.
Sure. My question is, the data that really seemed bad was the pneumonia and influenza mortality, which is a pretty nice sine curve naturally, but really was pretty flat as far as I'm wondering if you had any thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that we had talked about, and it's really more of the transformation of it into a proportion. Yeah, I mean, when you look at it this way as the proportion, it really doesn't have the seasonality that you see with a lot of the other data. If you look at it by number, it has a much more seasonal curve to it. And the data the pneumonia and influenza system that we use, I mean, it's based off of this number, so the absolute number, not the rate or proportion. And then also most of the data that you'll see reported out in other influenza data that's related to mortality is also reported as absolute number, just because when you look at it as a proportion, it really does flatten out that the seasonal trend for this data.
Any more questions?
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks.